Good morning.
Oh, okay. There. How's everyone doing? It's a great day, isn't it? Well, like Chaney said, next week, after the next service, next Sunday, we're going to be decorating in here for Christmas. Who's ready for Christmas? We've got a woo and two hands. Now, I know not everyone loves Christmas. It's hard to believe. There might be some of you in here. My dad was one who, he still might be this way, but it was more so when he was not retired, because he was a UPS driver for his job. So this is the busiest time for him at one point, and so I know not everyone loves Christmas, but as a society, don't we love Christmas? How long have Christmas things been in the stores and advertisements for those things? Since pretty much, yeah, June. It's not long, yeah, 4th of July and then Christmas. But we love Christmas time. I love Christmas time. It's just, I have fond memories growing up. It's that something nostalgic about it, of that, just being a kid and being Christmas time. And even still today, it's like, I wish I had Christmas break from work and things like that. And so we love Christmas time. And it seems like in recent years, we've almost grown to love what holiday just happened not too long ago in October. What holiday?
Halloween.
If you call that a holiday.
Yeah.
Halloween, sure. It's like, man, we see so much Halloween stuff, don't we? So it's almost like Halloween and then Christmas, the two big things. But what are we getting ready to celebrate this week? Thanksgiving. We don't, it seems, in my opinion, it doesn't seem like we hear too much about Thanksgiving, do we? It's kind of like, okay, Halloween ends. Sometimes it doesn't even end before we're already looking forward to Christmas. So I don't know. We tend to overlook or just not give much excitement to Thanksgiving. Now, I think maybe we would get excited about it if, I mean, we have food and things like that when we celebrate Thanksgiving. But Christmas has songs, so I say if we want to get excited about Thanksgiving, we should start having songs about Thanksgiving. And maybe have a mascot like we do Christmas and things like that. Then we might start to get excited about Thanksgiving. Maybe. I don't know. Turkey. Now if the turkey had presents. But Thanksgiving, I think there's an importance about Thanksgiving that we often overlook. Thanksgiving is just, it seems to become a holiday that just comes and goes year after year. And we look forward to Christmas. Oh yeah, we'll celebrate Thanksgiving in between until next year, right? But there's an importance about Thanksgiving that I want us to focus on this morning. Because Thanksgiving is a very biblical idea. All throughout the Bible, this idea of giving thanks is actually commanded to us. All throughout the Psalms, it says, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. In 1 Chronicles, which is where our reference text this morning comes from, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says this, and this is a psalm of David that is quoted here in 1 Chronicles. In verse 34, we read these words, give thanks, there it is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So this command of give thanks, I believe, it goes much farther than a holiday that we celebrate once a year. That comes and goes, that we remember, and then just as quickly as we remember, we forget. Thanksgiving this, what the Psalm of David is saying, give thanks. I believe that there's an importance in that that should be part of our daily lives as we're following God. Give thanks. So that's the command. Now, how do we do this? How, I mean, it's pretty obvious command, right? Give thanks, okay? Thanks, God. But how do we do that? How do we become, how does that become part of our daily relationship with God? I wanted to tell you about a little story that I think relates to it. Last year for Christmas, Chaney got me a pretty awesome Christmas gift, one that I'd been wanting for a while. It was a banjo. Now, I taught myself guitar, probably 10 years ago, but the banjo is always an instrument that I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be so fun to play. And so Chaney got me a banjo last Christmas. It was awesome. I was excited. I knew it was coming, so it wasn't, I mean, a big surprise. Yeah. Well, yeah, I did. Because you told me you told me how much it was, and I knew how much it was, so I kind of, she didn't tell me exactly, but I put two and two together. But I got this banjo, and very excited about it. So what did I do? I got this banjo, like, okay, and I taught myself guitar, and I taught myself guitar by watching YouTube. I would watch YouTube videos on just, you know, how to play chords and the strings and how to tune and things like that. So I was like, that's what I'll do for banjo. I'll just, you know, teach myself. So I watched all these YouTube videos, and I mean, there's pretty sweet banjo players out there that, man, I don't know if I'd ever be able to do that. You know, maybe one day, but I was watching all these YouTube videos on, you know, how to tune the strings and how to, make some chords and play that way, and then how to use your fingers to pluck the strings to make it sound pretty and things like that. I watched hours of videos. But see, the problem was, I watched all these videos, and I can't play today. I don't know how to play the banjo. I would like to be able to say, yeah, but what's the problem with that? I watched all the videos. Shouldn't I be able to play the banjo? It taught me how. I didn't practice. And I was watching more videos about playing the banjo than I was practicing playing the banjo. So how do we become, how does it become part of our daily lives to give thanks? It takes practice. Much like many things in our relationship with God, it takes practice. So that's the first thing. It takes practice. And a good place to start then, okay, you know, we hear you, you know, we got to practice. Where do we start? Where does everything start? Everything starts with God. So giving thanks starts with God. Who is God? And what does the Bible say about him? And who do we know him to be, you know, in our relationship with him? So we practice and we nurture that on who God is and who God says he is and who we know God to be. And in 1 Chronicles, what we read just a little bit ago, we read what? There's two very specific words that describe God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good. His what endures forever? His love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says these words, that God actually is love. So God is good and God is love. That's a good place to start on who is God and and what we thank him for. And I believe when we truly start to understand what that means, that God is good and that God is love, that begins to change how we understand God. And that begins to change how we understand ourselves. And when we start to understand ourselves and we start to understand God, we start to thank God. Our natural expression when we start to understand those things is to worship him, to give him praise, and to give him thanks. God is good. Every good thing comes from God. His love endures through all of life's circumstances. Do we truly understand that, though? His love endures forever. Endures. Now, sometimes we might have people in here that can testify of the fact that, yeah, God's love does endure because we know what we've put him through. To say, yeah, God had to endure what I was like to love me. Because we know what we've done, right? We know what we've done in our past. We know what it's like to be at times unlovable. But his love endures forever. God is good. All good things come from him. And through those times that God's love endures, those times where we've turned our back on him, he still says you are important. Because what? God in the New Testament says we'll leave the 99 to find the one that is lost. That's radical thinking. We sing songs about that, don't we? Like the popular one today is Reckless Love, where it says God leaves the 99 to find the one. So when we start to understand these things, we can begin to give God thanks. And I believe when we start to do this, it starts to change our perspective. It takes the focus off of ourselves like we naturally want to do. And our perspective is then put, and our focus is put on God and his goodness and his love. When our focus begins to shift, we no longer are focused on the situations. Our situations in life don't dictate our relationship with God. Meaning, give thanks to God in the good times. Give thanks to God in the bad times, because he doesn't change. His goodness and love doesn't change. Now, there's a lie out there that says, once you become a Christian, only good things happen, right? I mean, Christians in here, is life perfect? No. Do bad things still happen? Yeah. But this health and wealth gospel that says, like, oh, once you become a Christian, no bad things happen to you. That's just not true. There will be trials and things in life that honestly just stink. Things that you say, God, why is this happening? I don't understand it, and it's not very good. But when things are like that, when things are bad and good, it's important to remember who God is in those times. There's an example that's very personal to me, because it's like every time this happens, I'm reminded of this. Has anyone ever been sick? Yes. Well, in times when I get sick, it's every time, no matter what kind of sickness it is, I'm like just feeling pretty miserable, whatever it is, and just saying, God, oh, please just heal me. Please just heal me. And then it's no longer after that. It's like, God, oh man, I didn't appreciate when my nose wasn't stuffy or my throat didn't hurt or I wasn't, you know, in the bathroom all night, because I would forget And every time I was sick, I'd be reminded, like, oh, man, I didn't. God, if you heal me, I'm going to thank you every day for feeling good. Like, oh, you know, I'm going to appreciate it so much. I don't. Until the next time I'm sick. But what happens? What's happening there? In those times of goodness, I get comfortable. I get used to how things are and how I think they should be. There, in the Old Testament, this story about the people of Israel traveling in the wilderness, God gave them manna every morning. He would take care of them. But they became comfortable with that. So that's easy for us to do, isn't it? In the good times of life, we get comfortable. We forget to say thanks. But on the flip side, there's times where we are sick. There's times that aren't that good. Those times that just stink. The trials of life where we don't want to thank God. It's important to give thanks even then too. Not for what's happening, because I don't believe everything happens for a reason. As some people will say, oh, everything happens for a reason. That just doesn't make sense. How can the tragedies of this world be from God and for a reason? I don't think it's God's will for bad things to happen. God's will is good. God's will is love. So when things happen that aren't good and love, it's not from God. Because in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." God doesn't make bad things happen. But when bad things do, God says something good will come from this. And that's the thing that we can focus on in those bad times. God, this doesn't make sense, but I trust that you are working in all things for the good. So we practice giving thanks. That's the first thing. And then we begin to shift our perspective from our life circumstances to God. We take the focus off of ourselves. We put them on God and who he is and who he says he is. And finally, Paul gives us instructions in the book of Philippians on how to go about life. He gives us this example of what can happen in life and how we can respond. It's not one I recommend, but let's read. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16, Paul says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." So let me ask you this. How much brighter would the light of Christ, the light of the world, shine if Christians didn't complain and if we didn't argue with each other? How much brighter would the world see Christ? Instead, we let complaining and arguing among Christians and churches, and we don't look much different than the world sometimes. And even when it comes to God, we tend to take God's goodness and the blessings that he's given us, and we complain about them. We argue about them. Those Israelites who were traveling in the wilderness and were receiving manna every day were being taken care of by God. They got comfortable, and what did they do? They began to complain. All we have is manna. All we have is manna. Now today, we don't really complain about manna, which, you know, food. I mean, maybe we kind of do. We go to a restaurant or something, and if something's not right, you know, we send it back or complain about the fast food taking, you know, slow food. And or one of the popular ones was in college was people complain about the cafeteria food. I never understood that. You didn't like the cafeteria food? Oh, hey, be thankful. It wasn't that bad. It was pretty good, actually. But we complain about these things. We complain about being taken care of. We complain about, in churches, we complain about music style. We complain about types of seats. We complain about the brand of coffee. These kind of attitudes get in the way of our thankfulness. They put the focus on ourselves and what we are expecting and wanting. Instead, what if, as an alternative, what if our attitude was, thank you, God, for ears that are able to hear music? What if our attitude was, thank you, God, for an abled body to come to a place and just be with other people? What if our attitude was, thank you, God, for providing food and taste buds to taste? It takes practice to do this, because we can get comfortable. We can let our life circumstances and situations dictate how we respond to God. It takes practice. It takes shifting of our focus from ourselves to God. When we do this, I truly believe that Christ, the light of the world, will shine brighter in us when we say, thanks, God. In situations where the world's saying, you have no reason to be thankful, those sick times of life, the world will look at us different. You have nothing to be thankful for. But something that we can tell them and share with them is that God's working all things for our good, even this not-so-good situation. What an opportunity to let Christ shine through us. And Charlie, I don't know if you have a song to close with. Yeah. I'll go ahead and invite you up. And the Bible offers many examples and many ways to express thanks. There's not one right way to say thanks, God. You know, we verbally say it. All throughout the scriptures, a very popular way is to sing praise. And we're really good at that. We sing songs that say, you know, thank you, God. But as we wind down our time, I want to give you other options to express thanks to God. One option is to take that connection card that was in your bulletin, and just right on the back there, it says prayers and praises, I believe. Use that space to just say thanks. Thanks, God, for your goodness, for your love, to endure sometimes, often, perhaps. Another way we can express thanks is to before you leave this place, just as you're walking out the door on your way out, just tell someone. Tell someone that's here your reason to be thankful. I believe there's power in sharing with each other. The Christian life is done in a community. That's what the church is, people. I believe there's power in hearing each other. It brings encouragement because we don't know sometimes what every one of us brought in here with us this morning. God uses us, though, to speak to others often. So share with someone on your way out. And I would, the final way is just to, I would like to open, you know, this time and for anyone to share right now. Again, it's that encouragement, that acknowledgement of taking the focus off of ourselves and onto God. So if anyone feels led to share a word of encouragement of why they're thankful for, I would offer that to you now.
Okay, I'll take you up on that.
Absolutely.
I'm so thankful to the Koppel family for stepping up, and for Chally especially, to step up in a place where we had nobody to lead worship, nobody to help with worship, nobody to do anything with worship, but yet he stepped right up, has made every week, he's picked the songs, he's worked hard to have practice with them, and I just want to thank you, Chally. And of course, also Ethan and Heather for all that they do.
Thank you. Anyone else? It's open forum. Me too. It's only been 3 weeks, but it's home.
That's right. It's still home.
Anyone else? Let's stand and sing a closing song and give thanks.